Welcome back to another episode of the Velocity Cast. This week, I want to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, as many of these subjects are, but this is something that I have personally struggled with a little bit in the past, and that is this concept of constantly being busy, or the desire to fill a calendar, the desire to wear being busy as a crown of sorts, to act like it's a positive thing, when at the end of the day, it really is not. And I want to define, you know, reasons why we feel the need to stay busy, reasons why we fill our calendar with things we don't necessarily want to do. And the whole underlying premise of this particular episode of the podcast is thinking about the opportunity cost associated with making choices. Anytime we choose to do something, there is always a cost of things that we cannot do when we make that decision. And being busy is where many of these opportunity costs will rear their ugly head. So first off, let's start with a classic exchange that many of you have likely been in. And I am embarrassed to admit that this is, verbatim my experience in these situations. Somebody asks, hey, how are things going? And I inevitably respond with, things are going really well. You know, I'm busy with X, or they're going well, but I'm busy, or yeah, I've been really busy lately. As if being busy is synonymous with accomplishment or achievement or success. Oftentimes, we associate busyness with productive work. We assume that if we are busy, if we are doing a lot of things, if our calendars are full, that we are using our time well. But what you need to understand is those two things can be and often are mutually exclusive. Meaning, just because you're busy, it does not mean that you are being successful or you are achieving anything. And the same is true of success and achievement. Just because you accomplish something, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be constantly busy to accomplish that thing. And we'll actually look at a number of examples where the opposite is true, where having more time and being less hectic, less busy, can actually be positive. So with regard to, you know, the things that we are pursuing or achieving in life, it's very easy to fill our calendar. And a lot of this comes from this inherent guilt that I think comes from feeling like you're not doing enough, or like you aren't filling your time or using your time wisely enough. This is something that I have dealt with often. And I think if you are a high achiever in any capacity, you will relate to and associate with this and identify with this, right? Where we think that if I have free time on my calendar, if I am, you know, using that time to do something that isn't moving me closer to my goals, then that could potentially be wasted time. And I should be thinking about how to more effectively block things out. Now, this is a disease that can infect your mind rapidly. It can take over your thoughts, your consciousness. It can sap happiness and enjoyment from your life, which I have personally experienced on a number of occasions where it can't even be present during enjoyable activities because my mind is constantly thinking about what I should be doing next. Maybe the things that I, you know, didn't quite get through on my calendar that day. And these thoughts can occupy the headspace that should be spent relaxing, recovering, enjoying the fruits of your labor, you know, building deeper connections with friends and family. If we are constantly on in that work mode, then we're, you know, eventually doomed to become burnt out, overwhelmed. You know, think of it, I think of this often from a workout exercise training perspective, because I spent, you know, obviously a large part of my career in the gym, and I have spent a large part of my life training and exercising. If you just go into the gym and hammer it every day, if you never take a day off, if you push yourself as hard as you can every single time you step foot through those doors, you will sooner or later become burnt out, injured, and that's just on the tame end of the spectrum, right? People have put themselves in a deficit of adrenal fatigue, lack of recovery, you know, severe chronic injury, chronic stress. This, I mean, it causes physiological harm, ripple effects that affect every other aspect of your life. And that comes from overdoing it, not giving yourself time to rest and recover, and continuing to just hammer it every day. I saw this in competitive CrossFit a lot, especially athletes who were newer to the sport, who had some potential. They had shown some level of ability, and they felt like they were behind the eight ball if they didn't catch up and just do all of these workouts and all of these skill sessions and all, you know, they're trying to build or fix 10 weaknesses at the same time instead of focusing on one piece or two things. And, you know, I've seen many athletes come and go over the years, and very few people have staying power at a high level and have the ability to have a lasting career. And a lot of that comes from this constant push, this constant being on. In strength training, we do not actually experience the results of our workout until we rest and recover. So if you're talking about hypertrophy or building muscle tissue, breaking down and rebuilding muscle, the whole premise of strength training or bodybuilding or, you know, muscle building is that you're breaking down the muscle fibers, you're causing acute damage to the tissue. And when that tissue grows back or recovers, it grows back stronger. It gets a little bit bigger. It gets a little more resilient. And this concept applies to all things in life, really, right? Is you know, as you work towards something, you know, you push it a little bit, you step back, you recover, you come back to it refreshed, and you're able to continue to make progress. But just looking at the world of strength and of bodybuilding or muscle building, the recovery is where you experience the results of the training that you've done. If you never give yourself that recovery time, then you are actually leaving a lot of your progress and results on the table. So the long-term effects are burnout, injury, those things that we've discussed. But even in the near term, you're actually not getting as much out of your workouts as somebody who takes the time to rest and recover. Now, there's a balance, right, where there's a minimum effective dose for everybody. And the whole premise of West Side Barbell, or the conjugate system, which has been super popular and is used to train athletes, powerlifters, you know, it's an extremely successful training methodology. The whole premise is to train optimally, not too little, not too much, but optimally. Now, it's very easy to train too much, especially if you like being in the gym. This takes me back to my competitive CrossFit discussion, where a lot of people enjoy the training. They like working out. They enjoy doing hard workouts. And the harder part is actually forcing themselves to step away, to get out of the gym, to rest and recover. So it's easy to do more. And in the same way, it's easy to fill our calendar. It's easy to say yes to a bunch of things, to take on new commitments. It's easy to, you know, say, oh, well, I may not have time for that today, but I'll throw it on my to-do list and I'll get to it tomorrow or next week or whatever. Adding things is easy. Removing things becomes the hard part. Saying no to things becomes the hard part. And so busyness is an easy state to achieve. I think almost anybody on the planet who is actively working can find a way to be too busy, right? Think of it how often it's used as an excuse. Oh, I want to get to the gym, but I don't have any time. I'm too busy. Oh, I want to do XYZ or learn this thing or take that trip or do, you know, hang out with this person, but I don't have the time. I'm too busy. My schedule is too full. That is such a common refrain that we just accept it as a state of being. We assume that that is the way things should be. And to harken back to that concept of guilt, we feel guilty if we aren't busy. We feel guilty if we aren't on constantly or doing all the things. And so because that is the default expected state, we just fall into the pattern of putting too much on our plate, not being able to get things done. And then over time, because we have never given ourselves the ability to recover, we're accumulating stress. And chronic stress is now associated with so many adverse health conditions. It's associated with poor sleep quality, insomnia. It's been associated with dementia and Alzheimer's. It's been associated with progression of heart disease. I mean, we're talking some of the severe problems in this country and really in this world, health-wise, can be attributed to poor lifestyle choices and chronic stress. And that becomes a virtuous cycle. If you are constantly stressed out, if you're working too much, if your calendar is too full and you're not taking care of your body, then you are now putting yourself in a virtuous cycle of pain, suffering, and degenerative health. And that is the standard state for so many people in America, especially, but in the world at whole, in the world at large. And so what I want to propose is thinking of things in terms of their opportunity cost. I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, but opportunity cost is essentially the cost that you pay for opportunities that you cannot pursue or things that you cannot do. Meaning, if one friend invites you to go to the movies and you say yes, the opportunity cost for going to the movies with that friend is all of the other things that you could be doing during that time. And, you know, you can look at it financially, right? The opportunity cost of buying something is the other things that you could have bought with that money that you spent on that thing. So your opportunity cost is essentially what you are giving up to pursue a certain avenue. Now, when it comes to being busy or filling our calendar, if you have a full calendar, if you have a full schedule, if you are too busy, quote unquote, your opportunity cost is massive because there are a large number of things you would probably rather be doing or things that you have to say no to that you would rather be doing because your calendar is full. The problem is this massive cost is disguised as a very small series of choices. So taking on that extra project or saying yes to that thing or bringing on that client that you don't really want to work with or whatever, right? In the moment, it may seem like a short-term problem. Well, I'll work with this person for a little bit, or this project won't take that much time, or, you know, I really need the extra work, so I'll kind of grin and bear it for this. It seems like the cost is small because we're thinking about short-term cost. But if you extrapolate this over a long time horizon, the long-term cost of doing that constantly is that by saying yes to a bunch of small opportunities or a bunch of things that you don't really want to do, when the big thing that you want to do comes by, or when the big opportunity for you to, you know, make a huge step forward in your career or try something new or whatever, when that opportunity comes by, if you don't have the availability to take it on, if you do not have space in your calendar because you've said yes to everything else, then you miss out on something massive. And so it's counterintuitive because we think about the short-term losses of wasted time or not doing enough or any of those things. But the long-term cost of saying yes now is actually substantially higher than the short-term cost of having open blocks in our schedule. So if you think of things in terms of the opportunity cost, if you think of things in terms of the long-term cost of saying yes to stuff that you don't want to do or shouldn't be taking on, if you think of how that will affect your life in the future, then that can kind of put all that stuff in a little bit of a different perspective, or you'll be able to look at it through a different lens, because suddenly saying yes to that small opportunity seems a lot more costly than just the couple hours that it'll take for you to get that done or the wasted evening going to that event or whatever. So when you are faced with decisions as far as what you're going to take on or what you're going to add to your calendar, what I want you to think about is not the cost of doing that thing now, but I want you to think of what is the long-term cost going to be of saying yes. And I have tried to think of this a lot recently, especially because, you know, I read this a lot and I didn't really start embracing it or using it in my own life until recently. But with regard to saying yes or pursuing opportunities, if someone presents something to you and you don't think to yourself, hell yes, I have to do this, I can't, you know, imagine doing anything else. If you don't have that level of excitement over it, if it isn't an instant yes, it's probably a no. And that may be a hard lens to look at things through, and you may feel guilty at first, feeling like you're leaving things on the table or you're missing opportunities. But if you are saying yes to everything, then you're going to have to say no to the thing that you want to do down the road. If you are taking on every project and opportunity now, it is going to cost you the things that you want to do later. And so if you do not have that immediate gut reaction of, you know, yes, this is a perfect opportunity, I can't imagine doing anything differently. I want to do this. I'm excited about it. If you don't have that level of positive feeling about something that you're presented, say no. It's better for you to leave that time open to either have another opportunity come by or even just to recover, to think, to sit with your thoughts for a little bit, to plan, to reflect. You know, I've talked about the importance of being bored in a previous podcast, but if you never give yourself that room to breathe, that time to think, that time to sit back, then you're not going to see small problems as they pop up, and those will become larger problems. You're not going to be able to identify when you're off course or when you're pursuing something that you shouldn't be. You're not going to be able to identify those things when they start. And so those problems will fester, they'll grow, they'll become bigger, they'll become harder to deal with. So realize that there is a massive unseen cost with saying yes to everything. And if you think of these opportunities and you think of your calendar in that context, then I think it can help you make better decisions. Now, I want to briefly play devil's advocate and then I'll wrap this up. On the flip side, if you are early in your career, if you are young, it benefits you to increase your frequency of interactions. And so saying yes often earlier in your career is extremely beneficial. If you are fresh out of college and you're working your first job and you have no idea what you're going to do or what your next steps are, if you have a small network, take on as much as you can. Try to make a name for yourself, show that you're a hard worker, you know, take the time to actually establish yourself and figure out what you like and don't like. Because early on in your career and early on in your life, you'll probably have no idea. And so it's worthwhile to say yes to more things early so that you get a breadth of experience. And then later on in life, or as you determine the things that are valuable to you, that's when you go deeper. That's when you start shedding the things that you don't want to do. That's when you start saying no more often so that you can double down on the things that are working, on the things that you like, and on the things that you're good at. So early on, say yes a lot. That's important. But later on, follow this framework. Think about the opportunity cost. And that really, to sum that up, the whole premise that got me thinking about this more is the concept of velocity, which is the name of this podcast, which is the name of my newsletter. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, why velocity and where did that come from? And velocity is a vector, which means it has direction. So velocity is movement in a specific direction. It's speed plus direction. Busyness is equivalent to speed, to movement. It's energy, it's, you know, highly energetic, it's constant movement, it's activity, it's busyness. Velocity is what gives that movement direction. And velocity is the lens with which we should view opportunities that we are taking on. It's, is this moving me in the right direction? By adding this to my calendar, am I getting closer to where I want to go? Am I spending time with people I want to spend time with? Is this going to positively impact my life? So if you view things through the lens of velocity versus movement, that will help you make better decisions. And you should aim to have as many of your actions as possible have some direction, to have velocity as opposed to just being movement, to just being speed, to just being busyness. So think of things in that context. Try to shed some things from your calendar that aren't bringing you joy. Try to be a little bit more selective the next time you're presented with opportunities. And until next time, have a wonderful weekend.